Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Thank you.
because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. Get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses that could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved? Thank you.
If I fall down on my knees, will it give me just another day? Will the air I breathe be better if I'm not around you? Will the man be spared who spoke the truth? Cause he never did abuse it.
As long as I want to be saved, how can I be free in my mind? As long as I'm a slave, isn't everybody gonna be saved? Isn't everybody gonna be saved? Oh, say it again.
Young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama. if she could see me now. I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this here all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was. But I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, we got a lightweight day today. We're not going to go as long as we did yesterday. Let me see. All right. Anyway, let's see. Today's podcast is titled, and we're not going to go into too deep much. Well, it's simple. Mindset and Weekly Assembly 2023. So we want to build up some momentum going into 2023. And, oh, excuse me, we already started. Let's see, we started last Friday, so we're slowly building up. But we want to have the correct mindset to have a successful 2023. And a part of that is weekly assembly. So we're going to be having offline events in targeted towns or cities, hopefully one that you're already in or near, for 2023. So we'll have, like I said, we have, I'm just going to pull a city out of my head. Well, you know where I'm starting, where I'm at. Right here in Central Florida, we'll have at least two meetings a week. Let's say Orlando, Florida. Two meetings a week there. If we're up north, let's say in Chicago, two meetings a week where we're working on a project. But we'll be meeting at least two, bare minimum two, more likely three meetings a week. Okay. Because that way you can build a short amount of time and sustain it. And sustain it. In other words, keep it going every week. Now I got all these hounds around me. I got, let's see, three dogs in this house and a pig. But anyway, one of the dogs is going off right now about what I don't know. So if anybody's interested in getting more information about this, where we're localizing, get to my house, just reach out to me and I'll fill you in on the details. And, okay, the dog's, now I thought the dog would stop barking, but he's barking. Okay, so, let's see, Mom Evans, is that you out there? I think I see. First, hold it. No. That's somebody else. Okay. Speaking of which, let me promote a relatively new podcast on Blog Talk, and that's Fan Passion. Matter of fact, hold on. Let me get back to my studio here. Delmar, if you don't mind, if you can press one, and let's promote what you're doing, because you're out here 6 days a week on Blog Talk now. If you press one, I can. If Blog Talk's cooperative, Delmar, if you hear me. And we want to promote Fan Passion, your podcast on Blog Talk, because I want people to start listening to it. It's a very good podcast. Good morning, Delmar.
Good morning, and good morning, and exciting good morning it is. Thank you.
Let's promote your podcast, which is a very good one. The name of it, and you've been out here. Has it been a month yet?
Well, 20 plus, I think we had 20 podcasts. I'm not sure about the time, but we've done 20
okay,
shows.
Well, 20, I mean, hey, that's about a month's worth of podcasts. If you go by weekdays, you know, there are only 20 business days in a month. So,
right.
But congratulations on that. So, yeah, well, tell us about the name of it and what time and all that particulars.
Okay, we are Fan Passion Showtime Reunion. I always like to say it would excite me because it is exciting. And then we are a hybrid type of show in that we are a business forward slash ministry. And, of course, you can also read right to left, so we can say ministry forward slash business either way. But we are moving or challenging people above or away from the traditional, quote-unquote, religion that we've been brought up in. We believe there's been some miselements there. So in my 50-plus years in that ministry circle and that model, we've been called to a higher level. I'm a prophet, not a preacher so much. I feel people might call it preaching, but the prophet is a little different. So we have the ministry of addressing, focus on the family, the value and meaning of family and relationships. We take that back to another level. At the same time, we are on a campaign to create a nation's and prayer with passion 365 days. So those are the two things we're doing as we going along. And we are about teaching the things from the word that are action-based, getting results in here and now. We don't teach, well, I say this, there's nothing in the scriptures about how to live in heaven. It's all about how to live on earth. But traditional religion is all about the hereafter. And it's a shame how Christians live in this country, because that teaching of how to live that's then there for everybody is just not even brought up in traditional religions, not there. Now, we see a lot of it in the hierarchy of the preachers who have the Cadillacs and the planes and all that stuff, but the people at the bottom, where the money comes from, many of those people are living in paycheck to paycheck, and that's just not the way God wanted. It doesn't have to be in this country. It may have to be that way in Haiti somewhere or in Somalia, but in America it should not be. It's just too much money in the economy, too much money in the church and all that for people to be begging in religion today. It's just no excuse for it whatsoever. So we are bringing up those kind of subjects, and we are on, as you say, six nights a week, and I'll give the dial-in number if someone wants to. It's 563-999-3028. Again, that's 563-999-3028. And I also want to give this. The Blog Talk address, which you can see all of our episodes, is It's blogtalkradio.com/ Del Mar America, and that America is spelled AAMERICA, two A's in that spelled America. But blogtalkradio.com/ Del Mar America. And when you do that through your device, you should get Fam Passion Showtime, and there should be episodes of our various podcasts. But again, if that doesn't work, tune us in live and go from there.
All right, that's live at one time, Sunday through Friday.
Through Friday. Right. That's Central Standard Time, we call it Central Standard Time, 7 p.m.
All right. Well, 8 Eastern. Okay, just for your local time zone.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the topic I have for today, Mindset and Weekly Assembly 2023. As we were discussing offline earlier, that the assembly or organizing meetings face to face, not just Zoom or nothing like that, but actual face to face meetings with people, assembly of people. Could you explain that to the people? While once a week or once a month really isn't enough.
Okay, we have a lot of documentation on what works in terms of how people are motivated through time. And let me just go all the way back to the Christian church era, which I think most people know about that. When the church was first formed, they had none of those technical meetings. But you find in reading the original early history, they met every day. Now, they had no building, but they met every day from house to house. And, of course, that was the again, the primitive stages, that was the early days, and this went on for years. I think historians believe that it was something like 300 years before the church started to own property and meet in one place. But one of the common places, because the church started with the Jewish people, they went to the temple. But they went there every day. And then when it wasn't in the temple, they were going to houses. So there was this energy that was created by this people coming together, which is still true. When people come together in a local assembly, again, there's an energy. Just like watching a game, basketball game, football game, you hear about the home court advantage. In basketball, the home court is the sixth player. You know, in football, the stadium crowd is the, what is it, 12 men on the team, 11 men. So there's this energy that comes when people come together. And so what we found through the history, and I remember reading from the Civil Rights Movement, those who were successful said that if you didn't come together at least twice a week, your organization or movement probably is going to die. So there is something about that coming together, that physicalness, that shake hands and embrace thing that most of the people do, that media just can't replace that. It's a good thing. We have a bunch of people all talking about him coming together and talking, but they say the most effective way is to come together at some central place, could be in a house, doesn't matter the place so much, at least twice a week and share that energy and do that promotion. In fact, during the early days of the Christian church, when that there weren't a lot of challenges, persecution, we know about the death things and all that, but they were encouraged not to forsake to assemble themselves together. And he goes on to say that when you come together, there's again, encouragement, a exhortation, a building up that cannot be replaced. So there was always this come together. And again, that context of them was at least once a week, but again, a lot of them did it every day. But as you and I were talking, at least twice a week. And also, we talk about, imagine when you come together, at least around a common project, something you can put your hand on. Maybe came together, and I was thinking later, building something or constructing something. If you made a doghouse, if you made a chicken coop, if you made a birdhouse, come together and do something with your hand, do something, and then everybody say, here's what we did. That might have some thought.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because I'm thinking in high school, I attended a parochial school, and the many of those churches, Catholic churches, and I'm just using this as an example, had a it was an early morning novena mass that it was available Monday through Friday. Could have been more, I don't know what they had going on Saturday. But they had, if you wanted to assemble, 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that, they had something there for you. And I'm sure other denominations, whatever, you know, depends on what it is. It might have something similar to that. But, and I like what you said, if you meet around a project, it could be a birdhouse or whatever. You're right. If people are involved in some type of a project, people are attracted to that as well. So
yeah, and that there's a sense of accomplishment when you've been a part of something that you can see. The feeling of the, for instance, one of the things that the first century Christian people did, and this was a culture, was getting together around food, around a meal. And oftentimes, this is what we call, this today we call it potluck, where everybody brings something. And they put it all there together and everybody share it. That's something that's affordable and inexpensive, and nobody has to dig deep in their pocket to bring an item. And usually, by whatever reason, it always seemed to be enough for the size of the projected group. If it's 10 people, 20 people, usually if they all do what they should, it'll be enough for those people. So those are things, the project, a common meal, share something. And it could be peanut butter and crackers, so to speak. I'm just exaggerating it, but again, it's not so much what it is. It's the context of the culture of sitting there, sharing something, sipping on something, talking about something. And if everybody contribute toward building something, or like even another thing, everybody brought a can of something to give to some the food pantry or some cause. I mean, all those kind of common activities builds relationships, strengthens purpose and causes, and it just goes from there.
Right. I'm taking notes as you speak, because this is right on time. Let me see. Speaking of which, now, because you're from Chicago, so now when you were up there, when you got up there, you were, I guess, you were in Pleasant Stephens. I guess you guys were doing stuff on a daily basis. Could you share that?
Yeah, initially when I met him 20-plus years ago, you're right, we were pretty much every day on some type of, because we were doing street work. I mean, meeting people at McDonald's and where, and in fact, Mr. Pleasant was such an aggressive person. If you were having a meeting somewhere, for whatever reason, he would crash your meeting. We've actually been put out of places. Not that I'm not endorsing that, but he was so aggressive, he'd just go to your meeting, and if he could, he'd just pass out a literature while he's there, regardless of what your reason was. There was people that we went to churches, and we couldn't go into the building. What we'd do is just while the people didn't have a church, we'd be putting out, every car had a fly on it when it came out.
Right.
So, yeah, we put a lot of energy into going out, doing things, and that's what we did a lot of. And then, of course, you had the summits and other times we met together and people came. Then you had the shops and all those things. So projects, a lot of different projects we had.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all were the way I guess they call it, street teams. So I guess you guys, while you were doing some serious guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, back that's then, right. We were out there where the people were, wherever we met them, any place, whatever there was activity going on. And I just can't not count the name of the place we went to that, again, these occasions were called on by other people, but we were there making rounds and making ourselves. And there were quite a few people that got involved who, again, who would call him and say, hey, there's such and such activity. There was always somewhere to go to hook up to something that was going on in Chicago. Always.
Hmm. Now, he met quite a few people nationwide when he was out as a trucker over those years.
Oh, yeah. I
know
about 20-some years.
Right. We did an interview, me and him. I got it somewhere buried in the archives with the mayor of Bolgi, Alabama. I mean, they have a new mayor down there now, but he met all kind of interesting people over the years. Remember now, was he still trucking when you met him?
No, he had already retired from the trucking. You may remember the story of his son dying. That when he
I remember him sharing that with me. I remember that.
Let me say that. He did some local trucking for a while after he came off the road, but he eventually gave up the local trucking and got to stay in the city. Most of the going at that point was on the road for the IBEB pack. Infinity Building Economics Black Political Action.
Right, yeah, he used to promote that pretty
style.
Heavy when I first met him, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was promoting that pretty heavy. So, all right. Well, you're up with him every day. So, I spoke to him thanks to you less than a week ago.
Friday or Monday or something. Yeah, just a few days ago.
Right. All right, well, definitely an inspiration, that's for sure. Well, now, the assembly, that was what, Hebrews 10:25?
Yes, that's where the Christians were exhorted to not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, would come together anyway, even though they would challenge some concern about their safety and all that, but come together anyway.
Okay. All right. Now, with your podcast, you know, your nightly podcast, which is daily, 6 days a week. What are some of the topics that you might cover, you know, coming up in the future?
Well, it's interesting what I'm doing with the 12. So I have a whole list of items, and I am pretty much working on what I call a spontaneous motive as to what comes up next. And all of those are coming from my deep resources of material focusing on the family and the NAP prayer. And I'm going both current, like since I spoke, one of my podcasts this week dealt with the fact that on Monday we had the high school shooting where the boy went in and killed some people except they shot a bunch of folks. And he left his note. Well, four things he noted. He stated
what city did that happen in?
That happened in St. Louis, Missouri, our American city, St. Louis. But he mentioned they had no family, no friends, no associate, no socialite, no girlfriend, all that. And I took that and related to the lack of family. You know, and I talk about the family, how that comes family and the root of the family being the first government and the things that have taught there and how we train children to be adults and not let them grow up and do what they want to. So that was, like, again, a common related present-day application. And hopefully that's what we're doing in every case, but not just – again, bringing up subjects in science and statistics, but we're really serious about actually having something that people can take action on. So I'm alternate between talking about the family and the principles, the life principles there that I have stated throughout those podcasts, and also our campaign of creating a nation's anthem prayer, the prayer being core related to the family. And the issues that we address every day is going on. We believe that prayer is a thing that would make a difference right now. So when you go to the podcast and you listen to any of our recordings, you will find the seed of all that we're talking about, because I pretty much open up every day with the same introduction. So people keep hearing it, keep getting it. I call it space schedule repetition. You know, weaving it in, rubbing it in. Another imagery that's used about teaching something to children, the scripture word there has to do with whittling. Now, you've seen a person take a piece of wood and a knife, and they're cutting that wood, cutting it, and they're sharpening it, and they're sharpening it. It's called whittling. They're cutting and cutting. But it's not just passing time. It's to accomplish a point. So we're told to sharpen our children. We teach them, we train them so that they can be as sharp as they can be. Again, this is family culture. This is where it comes from. This is not barbershop stuff. This is not internet stuff. And I've heard stories from parents who are really taking this seriously. They have times in which their children have to turn off their cell phones, turn off their laptop, and actually get together in family. In fact, this was a point that came out in one of the stories on the tiny houses, LA. I watched the presentation. This couple were pretty well financially off, and they had three children, big house. And the mother saw what was going on. Everybody was going off to the corner doing their own thing. And so they made a decision and built a tiny house, had the tiny house built to size. But it was built to the extent that it pretty much, which is still true, structure oftentimes would create certain interactions among people. It was built that way. And so she brought her family back together. The children got to participate because she asked them certain things they wanted. They couldn't stop the project of being a tiny house project, but she did get input from them, and therefore they had to interact with each other more in the tiny house than they did in the big house where everybody was way off somewhere. So it's just so much. So I use those kind of points to, again, keep driving home that the family is the foundation of our society, our culture. And if we're going to improve it or make a difference, one of the places we'll start is with the home, with the family.
Right.
And when that expands, succeed, then the effect will go on other places. Family helping families. We want to tell you about the way we use families helping families. That's core to that.
Right. And that's what the Amish manifest. I was watching a video early this morning where some Amish families got together and built a farm in one day. Matter of fact, if people want to see the visual, that just put in Amish families build farm in one day. In one day. But as we were talking about earlier, that's a lifestyle that they live.
And we also said this morning, we also said that we can have that same effect. It may take us long to get people thinking like that, but get back to the project of having people come together. If you get people, a leader gets get people focused on one project until they finally come together enough, they say, okay, what day, what one day are we going to do this? Then we can still do it. You know, people still have that power. It might take us long to get the focus and apply the place. And as you say, imagine building one house in one day, you know, a tiny house in one day. And that, again,
well,
that's
Chris, exactly. Chris either brought up yesterday or last Friday, they built something like that in a couple hours. You know,
yeah,
something
right.
small, so 10 by 10. You know.
That's right. Those are the kind of things that happen.
Right, right. Okay, well, one more time, the number, the call-in number for tonight's podcast of Fan Passion.
5-6, make sure I get it right, 563-999-3028, and that's at 6 p.m. Central Time, my local time, Chicago time.
Now, let me ask you this.
Did I say 7-6? 7 p.m., I hope I did.
Yeah, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m.
Right,
Eastern Standard Time. Now, I don't know if it's premature. Now, you're working on a product, a basic product. Is it too early to announce that or what? You know, the match you were talking about?
Yeah, I'm still holding off on that because when I get that stirred up in people's mind, I want to be able to make them available so we – That'll be on our website, which we got that under construction right now. So when we get that into the conversation, I want people to be able to see it and place their order. And we got that in the works right now. So, yeah, there will be plenty of tangible physical items for people to use to motivate them, to remind them of this project. You know, we got calendars, again, all kinds of things for people to wear, the caps, baseball caps. So, yeah, that's all in the works. It's in the work, yes.
Okay, good. All right, that's good. Now, what about, because we were talking about a little bit earlier, assembly, I guess you had that in the work too, offline assemblies as well? A meeting
we're going to have what we call ambassador churches or congregations, people who are going to be meeting under this project's name, again, coming together, doing common focus activities to energize and build momentum and to do things to come on the show later on and say, here's what we did, here's what happened, here's the results. We even have paychecks built into this. By the way, my project, my speaking and subject tonight is do it for the money. I'm going to say it's going to do it for the money. To do what? And we're going to talk a little bit about the scriptures say what? The feast is made for laughter, and wine makes you merry, but money answers everything. That's straight from the Word of God. So we're going to talk a little bit about where that fits into here.
That's tonight. Okay, well, what we're going to do, we're going to knock off an hour early today. Tomorrow, we're going to catch up on a new – now, Chris Collins will be back on Monday. Okay, next this coming Monday. He'll be on tomorrow, which is, what, Friday? We're going to catch up on trending topics for this week. So we're going to, you know, the St. Louis shooting, we're going to catch up on that tomorrow. Kanye, I'm behind on that because I've been hearing buzzwords about Kanye, but I haven't watched any videos or read up on whatever he said that accepts so many people. So the shooting in St. Louis tomorrow, Kanye news, and whatever else on that. Tune in to Del Mar tonight for Fan Passion right here on Blog Talk Radio. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.